was developed with learning disability and developmental disability. And it was very hard to like maintain it.
Maintain what is?
Learning new things, because in the beginning I was a slow learner, but it takes time and patience, so I can try to like learn as much as I can.
Some of the things that I was noticing is that he was super cranky. He was doing more mumbling, wasn't eating. I mean, there was a lot of the signs were there that I came to learn later on were signs of lead poisoning. I had been noticing that he was, I felt like he wasn't thriving and he wasn't developing. He wasn't meeting some of his milestones. And I'm a new mom, so I was a new mom. That was my first time. So I had asked my mom, I said, "Mom, he doesn't seem, something is wrong. He doesn't seem to be thriving like how he should." And she said, "You know what? It's probably the move. You know, he probably misses us," because, you know, I had a very large family. There were 5 siblings in the house and my parents. So So my mom was thinking it had to do with his transition. But what we ended up doing is right before he turned 2, we went to his primary care physician, you know, his pediatrician. And the nurse practitioner called, and they ran some tests. The nurse practitioner called me a couple days later and said, "You need to get Jalen to the hospital right away. His lead level is elevated." And she said, "They are waiting for you, just go." You know, so it wasn't a matter of, "Oh, and at your convenience." It was, "You gotta go."
This was like urgent.
It was urgent. So I brought him to the hospital, they retested his lead level. And at that point, they told me it was 180, you know, and what we understood, what I came to understand later on is that 10 and under was considered safe. Doctors were coming in, it was probably like residents and others that were coming in and saying, "How is he still alive? This isn't, people don't usually survive at those high lead levels." Seems like when he, which was not as well kept. I mean, the owner probably did what he could, but you know, it wasn't well kept. Lots of chipping paint, lots of lead dust all over the house.
Wow.
And things like that in the windowsills. And he used to play in the windowsills. He used to watch, he's too young, so he can't go outside. So he used to watch the kids who used to play in the driveway. He used to look down and laugh and giggle and things like that. So he would look down in the, so he did spend time in the windowsill.
Unbeknownst to you, he's ingesting lead.
Yes. And touching lead dust, you know, because the way lead, you know, those old houses, it's like they're a dust factory. So with the dust is also coming, you know, a lot of the lead pigment from the paint and the lead. He goes to the Hasmore Children's Hospital. He was admitted for about 5 days. It was traumatic. And for a long, long time, he was so afraid of needles. Kids are afraid of needles anyway.
Yeah.
But he was deathly afraid of needles, you know? And I think part of that was because of the trauma of being woken up in the middle of the night and shot in the legs.
I went to,
You started with Camden Avenue.
Cameron Avenue.
He was in a 230-day program as opposed to like a 180-day program.
What's that name of that elementary school?
Byron Gregorian.
Byron Gregorian.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then when I was a preteen, a teenager, I went to Bethel Green. Mm-hmm. And then in high school, I went to Mount Pleasant High School.
Okay.
And he was in special ed throughout.
Okay. So what are you doing now?
Finding a place to work.
Okay.
It's very difficult. Not easy to be in that position. I'll do the best I can to find one.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts about the lead? Are you angry about it, or do you think about it much, or?
I have a lot of emotions. I was sad, I was angry, I was depressed. I feel like I'm not living an easy life. And yes, when I was a kid, I was scared of needles. But years later, I'm no longer afraid of needles.
Well, that's good.
Because they tickle a little.
It was an environmental justice issue, which is deep. It's rooted in social justice. If as a society, particularly in the United States, where we make claims about a democratic society and a society in which we care and things like that, that's been sort of like part of the ethos of the United States or around our culture, about caring for others, about giving back and all that. Now, if we truly, those values that we espouse, I think it's time that we move beyond just like these rhetorical commitments to actually doing something about it. It's a larger issue because all those things I said, you know, all the health problems that then puts additional burdens on our healthcare system. I can't imagine that. And then because of many of the folks who are encountering these problems are on
subsist on welfare benefits and things like that, that's an additional health, you know, with the testing and the treatment of lead poisoning. There's actually people saying, you know what, you can't not rent to kids, but people going, you know, I don't know about renting, you're right, to folks, let alone the struggles that kids experience when they're in the in school, in special education, right? You know, there are kids who, you know, when you think about special education, that's an additional cost, right? So in terms of education, in terms of policy, in terms of the finances, in terms of insurance, in terms of, there was on all these markers, it puts additional burdens on our society, on taxpayers. You know what I wonder about, and this is complete conjecture on my part, but I wonder about, I do think the prison industrial complex is definitely racialized, right? There's a definite race element to it, right? But I also wonder about if any of those folks in there suffered some kind of lead poisoning, in addition to like poverty indicators and things like that. Like, I wonder about that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wonder how many of them had health crises as children. Because, you know, they say, oh, there's antisocial behavior and all this kind of stuff, but I wonder about what their lives were like when they were little.
Fairness and doing the right thing. That's what social justice means, right? So what do you think about lead, being fair to people who are lead poisoned? What do you think society should do about that?
Treat people with lead poisoning with proper respect.
In what way? Like, what would be respectful for you? Like, what would you need?
Guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Being cheered up.
Mm-hmm.
Encouragements.
Mm-hmm.
Inspiration.
Mm-hmm. From who? Like, from me or who else?
Family and friends.
Yeah.
Close friends.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think about the fact that there's still little kids that are being lead poisoned in this world, in Rhode Island? And in Providence in particular, in some of the other urban areas, what do you think about little kids being poisoned still?
I know it's, what can I say to little kids?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it may be a sad, sad life,
mm-hmm.
but you can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No matter how much you try, mm-hmm. you just gotta fight through the pain, even though you're lead poisoned, mm-hmm. no matter what.
What about people who can do something about it, but maybe they're not doing anything about it?
Don't fall into negativity.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta be positive in your life.
I mean, I guess we kind of covered it, but obviously kids should not be lead poisoned.
No, because that's sad. Very sad.
Mm-hmm.
And should we as a society do everything we can so kids don't?
Yes. Do whatever, please, you got to do whatever you can to save those young children from being lead poisoned. Because if they are lead poisoned, please guide them through life and help them as much as you can.